Is that your desire tonight? Amen. Jesus has given you a light. Amen. And he told you to let it shine. Praise the Lord. I know that with this one thing, people are reading our lives every day that'll never take time to read a spoken word book, read the Holy Scriptures, and not even come to church, but they'll read your life. How many of you want to have a testimony that you're pleasing to the Lord? To shake somebody's hand and ask them this, is your light shining tonight? Play some more of it, guys. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in God's house tonight? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're here tonight. We had a wonderful time here Wednesday night. The word of the Lord was just absolutely wonderful. I'm glad we've got a great attorney on our side that's representing us. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Praise the Lord. What a privileged people we are to be able to come to the house of the Lord. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. What a privilege we have tonight. We're so honored. We're so honored by our Lord Jesus Christ that He would let us come to a place and worship Him in spirit and in truth. You're a blessed human being. We're all blessed human beings tonight. I thank God for it, don't you? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a minute while we look at our prayer request. I want to pray for Brother Terry, Sister Jaretta Stockton. Brother Terry is waiting for results from several tests. Sister Jaretta has swollen joints and a muscular problem, so we're just asking that you would remember them in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Ed Jablonski Jr. He has a tumor in his liver. Eddie Jablonski sends that in, so we want to just commit that need unto the Lord. Brother Dan Dyer offers his testimony tonight. We want to thank our Lord Jesus Christ for hearing the prayers of the saints for our two granddaughters. For the past year, they have both been under attack from the enemy. Good news came on Friday that 18-year-old Kara had successful exploratory surgery. She also has gone 4 weeks without a panic attack. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hannah is 16 years old and under care from Vanderbilt for epilepsy. They have postponed brain surgery for further tests and treatment. We are very blessed with this decision. We believe it is the Lord working and the answer to all the prayers that have gone up. Dan and Judy Dyer offer that testimony tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Brother, another praise report. Brother Eddie Yance, as you know, has been in the hospital, suffered a heart attack, was too weak to have open heart surgery. The doctors called all the family in this morning around 6 o'clock, and they thought he was leaving. Well, Lenny will come back home and went back to the hospital, and he was almost sitting up in the bed talking, having a great time, recognized everybody around him. Just a miracle from the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, God's got his hand on our lives. I believe that with all of my heart. Sister Deanna Glenn says to remember her father in prayer, Lloyd Taylor. He's heart problems. And his health is declining more all the time. He's almost 93 years old. I appreciate your prayer, so we just commit that to the Lord. Certainly want to pray for the Krause family tonight, that the Lord would just be with them during the loss of Brother Eric's father. Just that the Lord would comfort their hearts and be with them during this time. Let's don't forget to pray for that family tonight. Sister Peggy Larson from Wisconsin sends this in. Greeting to the saints of God. I have a prayer request concerning an upcoming court custody of my grandson between his mother and father. The dad is an atheist and his mom needs salvation. Please remember them in your prayers. I am trusting in God's perfect will for this precious little boy. Thank you, and may God richly bless each and every one of you. So we certainly want to pray for that situation, that the Lord would just be mindful and it all work out to his glory. For the Kirk Sackers in the hospital having heart tests done, please pray for him. Certainly want to remember that need tonight. Also, Brother Kevin Keith, I understand, is making a good recovery, and we just praise the Lord for that tonight. God is so good to us. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Now, how many of you believe with all your heart that God can answer prayer? How many of you believe with all your heart that he has already seen the needs that we presented to him tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Before we sing that, or before we pray tonight, let's sing that little chorus. Let's give him some thanks tonight for what he has already done, for what he's doing, and for what he's going to do down the road. I believe we're serving an all-powerful God. You believe it tonight, church? Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him. Wanna say thanks, thanks, I give you thanks. Oh. My soul is found. Brother Nathaniel, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord. Let's join our brother in prayer. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service tonight. If he don't come, it's just some people got together. But if he'll come and be in our midst, it'll all be worthwhile. Amen? God bless you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Amen. How many know we have a lawyer, amen, that's on our behalf? You know, so many times, I'm just thinking about that opening song this morning. It just, let your light shine. And it was, I grew up in a message church, left at 15, didn't want anything to do with it. You know, but it's somebody living the life that woke me up. Amen. So just to encourage you to be that light to those around, even if they may have turned their back on this message, I don't believe the message turns their back on them. Amen. Just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to give you grace, Lord. We want to give you praise tonight, Father. We're so grateful, Lord, that you, on our behalf, Lord, have died on a cross, Lord, that you've called us, Father, to something higher, Lord, to have communion with you, Lord. And there's so many requests tonight, Lord, talk of cancer, Lord. Lord, and so many different things, Father, but we know, you know, epilepsy, the dyers, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for moving in that situation, Lord. We're just so grateful, Lord, and just the successful surgery, Brother Ed Yontz, Lord, just all these different praise reports, Lord. We know, Lord, there's so much more, Father, you're doing in this congregation. The half hasn't been told, Lord. I would say 90% of it hasn't even been told, Lord, what you're doing in your people here tonight, Father. We just ask, Father, that you would just help us get ourselves out of the way tonight, Father, that you would just take control, take preeminence in the service, Father, that in each and every life, Lord, the unspoken prayer request tonight, Father, you know each and every desire, Father. You know each and every heart, Father. You know what they're battling with tonight, Father, and you know that we know, Father, like I have faith, Father, that you can touch in each and every situation, Father. We just want to lift these things up before you tonight, Lord. We claim them now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning or the evening offering. The evening offering. So glad to have all of you in the service tonight. Sister Brenda, her husband Dave Harmon, his mother Esther, she is from Maine. They're here in the service with us tonight. Raise your hands right here. Give these folks a nice hand tonight. God bless you. We're glad to have you in the service tonight. Praise the Lord. Have any other visitors? I pray that God would just bless you tonight as you visit with us. Those that are streaming, may God bless those folks as well tonight. It's just such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Such a privilege to get to worship God one more time this side of eternity. Do you love him tonight? Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report that we're more than able to go over and possess the land. I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I'm going to tell you this. God has enabled you to go on over and possess the land. Do you believe it with all your heart tonight? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, just give me Jesus. Oh, let's sing it. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
You can have all this world. Oh. to die.
Oh, thank you, Father.
When I come to die, just give me Jesus.
I want you to sing with all your heart. Oh, give me
tonight, just before we change the order of the service. How many of you believe we're standing on holy ground tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it tonight if you will. Yes, we are standing on holy ground. You can be seated tonight. Now, how many of you would agree with me tonight that you'd like to hear Brother Harry sing "The Dove Leads the Lamb"?
Well, it's almost unanimous. Will you sing it for us tonight, Brother Harry? Can we sing it with
you? Let's sing it with him. I like to help him, don't you?
That sounds like a trick question. Well, I'm glad the evening light has come, ain't you? With all the falling away, I'm glad I, by the grace of God, I can say I I still love this message with all my heart. The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect are feeling a stir inside their heart. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her. Is granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With a righteousness that's not our own, we're just before His throne. Where
Jesus. Well, if it wasn't for the evening light, we would be in the same darkness that everybody out here is in. We'd be wondering if it's one God or three gods, or which way's up or which way's down or which way's... Thank God for the evening light. Amen. We so appreciate the light of God. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the book of Jude. We'd like to begin reading verse 3 through verses 6. I don't know about you, I'm just so happy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
God saved me many, many years ago. He put a desire in my heart to go to church. And that desire has never left me. We used to be in Pentecost and we'd have meetings together in different places and we'd have them for 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 days in a row. I've preached in Louisiana one night, close out that night, drive all night long, all the next day, and be in Indiana the next night. Not go on vacation. We'll start another meeting. Didn't we, Harry? And then after that, we finished at that place and we recorded an album. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Once I come to this message, I still like to do the same thing. Give it all my heart. I ain't got the strength now to go like I used to do, but I want to do it with all that I've got. Let's read from this little big book of Jude. I want to speak to you tonight on the fatal effects of apostasy. The fatal effects of apostasy. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old. Now notice how they come in here. It wasn't no surprise to God. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So he saved them, then destroyed them. So can a person lose their salvation as far as being saved? Oh yes. They can't lose their seal if they ever get sealed. Afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved, now listen where they are, he hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Listen to this again. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight before the Lord? Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, Father. We are so thankful, dear God, that you have saved us. Thank you that you've called us to yourself. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the things that you've done in our lives. Lord Jesus, we can never, ever praise you enough. But Lord, we certainly want you to know that we are thankful. Lord, we don't want to receive of your bounty and of your great hand and never stop to say thank you. As a matter of fact, we just want to say it over and over and over again, that we might be able to express a little bit of the gratitude that we feel in our hearts towards you, Lord. I pray tonight as we look into your word that you would speak to us, Father. For we believe the answers to the things that we have need of has been written in the word of God. So illuminate it tonight, Father. Put light upon it. We don't need another Bible. We don't need a new translation. But what we do need is light on what's already been said. So just illuminate it to our hearts and make it real to us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. So appreciate you tonight. You may be seated. Let's turn, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. It's an amazing thing when you go to looking at prophecy and how that God, of course, before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us that all of his works were already finished before the world ever began. And God has what Paul called an eternal purpose. That purpose is something that he laid all of the facts, everything before himself, before there was ever any matter, time, light, before there was ever anything that was ever brought actually into existence. And Paul calls it then God's eternal purpose. So anything that has happened down through time, whether this is in days of Moses or David or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or in our time, though it might have taken people of that age by surprise, it has never taken God by surprise, because God foreknew it before the foundation of the world. So the things that God knew, God was able then to predetermine, or predestinate as we call it, that he would foreordain and knew everything, every creature that would be on the face of the earth. Even though it's beyond our understanding, he knew every fly, every flea, every little gnat, everything that would ever live on the earth, God knew it. And God knew how long it would live. And God knew exactly who would serve his purpose, and he knew those who would turn away from him. So in that, then he would be able to inspire men of God down through the ages, and they would be a window by which God could bring them into a dimension. In that dimension, they would be able to see things that would lay in the future. Now, if he chose, he could carry them back in time, and he could show them things that were, as he did Moses in the book of Genesis. It would seem as if, though, that Moses was actually standing on the
the brink of eternity when God was creating. For he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and darkness and void, and the darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It sounded as if so Moses was standing right there whenever God did that. But what God did was catching this man up, this prophet, into this realm of the fourth dimension by which he could see vision, and he actually carried him back, as it were, in time, and almost letting him watch it, as it were, a video or a movie transpiring. And the same God that could carry them back in time could also carry them ahead in time and help them to see the future events and write down people's names, as he did King Cyrus 150 years before he was ever born on the earth. How he could write down the names of kings and kingdoms and tell this will happen, that will happen, this will take place. We believe that, right? So then that very same God would be able to write through the New Testament writers, even though he might do it in a little bit different way. It was still prophetic utterance, but he was doing it in a way by which it would be written down instead of carried word of mouth from one generation to the other. Now, whenever the men of God began to write the New Testament, of course, it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which wrote down what they saw. Then the book of Acts, which was written also by Luke the physician. Now we move over from there into the Pauline epistles, and then over into John, over into Jude, foster brother of the Lord Jesus. And in there, God would move upon them. Now, Jude was not a prophet. Peter was not a prophet. But the spirit of prophecy could move upon them, and they would begin to write things that was going to happen thousands of years later. Now, here we are living 2,000 years after this was written, and the fulfillment of these verses has happened in every age. Because in every age, there was an illumination of the Word of God for that age, right? God gave His Word for every church age, and every age would have its portion of truth, and God then would shine the light upon that truth. Then in there would be the true believers which grasped hold of that Word, and they would live for God no matter what. There would also be another element of people which would be attracted to that truth. They would never go all the way. Many of them would be around it for years and years. They would have experiences with God. They would have a certain element of enlightenment or illumination, and they would see certain things about that truth. But there would be things that they would run across in time that they would say, you know what, I can't believe this any longer. I cannot stand for this. Now, in that, God knew that it would be that way, that there would be tares and there would be wheat. There would be people that would be illuminated to truth and never leave it. There would be other people that would be illuminated to it and would walk away from it. So here then the scripture calls them apostates, or through apostasy. So they would be the ones in every day that would embrace the truth of that day, but they would never embrace it from an eternal attribute which was in God's mind before the foundation of the world. Now, they are given as creatures of time the opportunity by which they could at least come around and be able to be identified under Abel's worship or Abel's sacrifice lamb. Just do as your brother. That's what God told Cain. God never revealed to Cain the way of righteousness, but he told him, if you'll do what Abel done, I'll let you come in. But his pride would not allow him to do it. So then once God points it out to him that Abel, of course, he's slain because of Cain's anger. Now then, in God knowing that there would be apostates in every age, and God knew that it was absolutely, totally impossible to stop it, so God forewarns by prophetic utterance and lets the people, the elect especially, let them know that there will be apostates in every age. Now, of course, at the end time, the apostasy will be much greater because the light is much lighter. And because of that, with great exposure to light comes also great damnation when people turn away from that truth. May God forever keep us in His grace. Now watch here in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Now what's one of the genuine attributes of true apostasy is always in the same form and fashion. That they will despise the government given by Almighty God Himself. Now we know God never chose dictators to lead His church. God never chose men that would become the, you know, the great, mighty, and the famous, and the church people are nobody, and the preacher is everything. That's not the way God did it. But God called men that would be servants to His people, and they would be gifted supernaturally by the presence of God, and the elect will always receive them. But there will be an element that will not receive it. As a matter of fact, they will not just not receive Him, but they will despise the very government that God Himself orchestrated inside the body. Now look at this word despise. It is to condemn, despise, disdain, think little or nothing of. Now watch a true sign of apostasy. That apostates will, even though they may have been around a God-called ministry or ministries for years, but then they will turn. Something will cause them to turn. And they will come to a spot to where the men that they supposedly loved and had such great admiration for, whether it's a pastor or the prophet or whatever more, then they turn all of a sudden and they begin to despise government. So now they no longer just, well, I just don't agree. I'm not going back no more. I'm just going to go my own way and do my own thing. Oh no, that's not true apostasy. True apostasy is they will turn on the very government of God and they will begin to despise divine government, which is appointed by God Himself. Now watch. Then Peter says they will despise government. Look at this word. It is dominion, power, lordship in the New Testament. One who possesses dominion. Watch now Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now notice these words now. Let the elders, look at this word elders, a term of rank or office among the Christians, those who presided over the assemblies or churches. The New Testament uses the term bishop, elders, and presbyters interchangeably. Now notice here is God's form of government that's going to be upon the earth. Now remember the church is two parts to the church. It is a mystical body and it is a natural body. So if it was all mystical, then you would not need a natural pastor. You would not need a natural evangelist or a natural, none of that if it was all totally mystical. But it is mystical and it is natural. So it is a supernatural part and there is a natural part. In the natural part, God must choose by His own appointment the way by which this church will be run. And what do we need a pastor for? Just somebody to visit us when we get sick? What do we need a prophet for? Just somebody that will tell us things right and wrong? Why do we need an evangelist for? Well, God has reasons for this. Now watch, then let the elders that rule, look at this word, prosthemi, maintain, be over, to set over, to superintend, preside over, to be a protector or a guardian, to give aid. So here is the government by which God left His church, and He left who in charge? God didn't pick a mayor. He didn't pick a governor. He didn't pick the president. God did not pick a constable. He picked preachers. Well, you say that was a dumb mistake. Well, you blame Him. If God chose it, it ain't a dumb mistake, because God don't make mistakes. Now watch then, now Paul goes in the next verse and he says, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now watch how he merges now, these two, into this last verse. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now can you imagine how particular and strict that this government of God is? Now God knew that there would be people constantly that would be accusing His men of either doing this or doing that or saying this or saying that. And according to the Bible, you are forbidden to receive an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses. Can you imagine the people that are receiving accusations against God's prophet from one blabbermouth? or one liar or one hypocrite, do you understand this very Bible will condemn you for doing so? Why? This is God's government. And the church said, Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you. Now, can you imagine modern Laodiceans saying amen to this? Can you imagine most church people obeying them that have the rule over them? Most churches rule over the preacher, not the other way around. Why? Laodicea. That's exactly right. Amen. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now remember, friends, I did not write this. I'm only saying what was written many thousands of years ago. Obey them that have the rule over you. Look at this word, obey. To have faith in a thing, to believe, to be persuaded of a thing concerning a person. To listen to. Obey. Yield to. Comply. Trust. Have confidence. I can't have no confidence in no man like that. Get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost helps you keep God's Word. Oh, I never have any confidence in man like that. That's one true sign you ain't got the Holy Ghost. If you get the Holy Ghost, you will know that you're not putting your confidence so much in man, but you're putting your confidence in a gift from God. Not man. Oh, my. Obey them that have the rule to be a leader, to rule, command, to have authority over, a prince, overseers, or leaders of the churches. Will apostasy receive this? Absolutely not. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the truth. Now, why? Why then are you supposed to obey men of God? Well, listen to this. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. For they watch for your souls. Now, our government has so many agencies of the FDA and the FCC. And my, one agency after another, an agency that inspects our meat, an agency that inspects our vegetables, another agency that inspects this, and one that inspects that, and another that inspects that. But there are no government agencies of the United States government that is set to watch over your soul. But Almighty God chose an agency, hallelujah, by gifted men, and they are to watch over your souls, the most important part of you. Lord Jesus, help us preachers. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Can you imagine every preacher that stands and preaches and handles the Word of God, and he knows he skirts around this issue and that issue and that issue because it'll make people mad and people will call him names or whatever more, and he does not preach the truth and will compromise because of fear of favor, and he will have to answer at the day of judgment for not telling his congregation the truth? Think of it, friends. God will never make you all answer for me. But as your shepherd, God will make me answer for you. What man in his right mind would want to be a preacher anyhow? He's either got to be nut or be called one. As they must give an account, that they may do it with joy. Oh, children, don't make me stand there that day and witness against you. Let me stand before God and stand with you side by side. May it be with joy in my soul. Yes, Lord, we stood together. We went through the hard times. We went through the good times. We went through the difficult times. Lord, I stand you with joy before these people, Lord.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Now listen how this is. People laugh, ridicule, make fun of preachers. But remember, this is God's Word. Your opinion, my opinion, it don't really matter anyway. Listen what will happen at that day. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. for that is unprofitable for you. Now watch! Apostasy will always lead away, of course, from the principles of truth. Hebrews 13:24, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. But apostates will never be able to acknowledge the truth of God's great will. They will always want to pull away from one thing or another, but for most, it will always lead to this kind of despising of God's government. Look at this now in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. So why are gifted men important anyway? Why do we even need them? Why don't everybody just stay home and read their Bible or just listen to a tape or just basically fend for themselves spiritually? You have a soul. You have needs that you can pray on. You have a heart where you can open to God. You have a mouth that you can pray. Why do you even need preachers anyway? What benefit are they? Aren't they all liars? Ain't they just after everybody's money? Watch Paul now in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, Paul is quoting from Psalms 68:18. Let's read it. Thou hast ascended on high. Now, David is not just writing this prophetically, but David is writing this because of something that has happened among them just recently. And that was that the Ark of the Covenant ascended up to Mount Zion. And David is writing about what God did, but underlying lays a prophecy about what God is going to do. Now David is, you remember the story of course, whenever he went about it the wrong way and then he corrected his error and went about it the right way, then the Ark of God came up. Now watch, he identifies it as a person. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. So now here God was represented by the Ark of the Covenant. So God had ascended up to Mount Zion. And with God's ascension brought great gifts of joy and release and peace and worship and adoration. Once God ascended up on the mount, it brought the word or the presence of God among the people. So David just writes down here in Psalm 68 about what God did. But the spirit of prophecy now, underlying the current events, will speak of modern events, which will be made clear by prophecy thousands of years later. So here he writes it down. Maybe David not even knowing what he's doing. But he just feels led. Amen. And he writes it down. And then Paul, none of the rest of the New Testament writers even point back to the scripture. None but a prophet. So here is Paul one day reading, praying, meditating on God. About the government in the body. About what God wanted to do. And all of a sudden, maybe sitting in his study, maybe in the Roman dungeon, wherever he was, it come to him. And he began to see by vision as the ark ascended up on the hill. And the Lord God made the parallel known to him. That wasn't just the ark, Paul. That was me. Now watch, he prophesied. David said, thou hast led captivity captive. Psalms now foreshadowing Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rip. And the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That'd been something, wouldn't it? Standing there buying a cold drink, and there's Abraham and Sarah standing there looking at you. Praise be to God. There's Ezekiel and Daniel and David. Oh, hallelujah. Why? The king has ascended. Hallelujah to God. The king got up. Now what's the parallel now of this? Again, back to Psalm 68:18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Now notice here, underlying in this prophecy is the foreshadowing of a God called ministry. Thou hast received gifts, not from, but for. Now whoever this conqueror is, he is going to receive gifts. And of course we know he received them through the creative act of incarnation. That he comes to the earth and he receives gifts. Every God called man's gift was in the Lord Jesus. Whether he's a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, whether he preaches to 5,000, 5 million, or 5. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now notice then, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. Notice what these gifts are going to do. That the Lord God,
amen.
That the Lord God might dwell among them. Right. You mean these gifts are received to, and they go to the conqueror, and the conqueror will hand them out in order that the presence of the living God might live in a body, a habitation, a temple. Can't you see, friends, why apostasy wants to lead you away from God called men who tell you the truth? Satan knows you cannot be inclusive in the body of God without God's government. These gifts and graces received by the conqueror will allow the fulfillment and the embodiment of the deity of God in the body on the earth. Now watch. Let's run this parallel now again if you would. In Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this whole setting, let me read this to you. This whole verse is a military triumph. Thou hast ascended on high. Now, this is a form of a military triumph of this day. When a conqueror of a city or cities or countries, when he would conquer, and what he would do would have his enemies to walk behind his elevated chariot. Then the conqueror would come through. If he had taken Rome, if he had taken Babylon, or whatever it was, and he went back home, and he was riding in this elevated chariot, then he would take the conquests. He would take gifts that he had obtained. Amen. He would take gifts, and he would go to throwing them gifts out among the people. So he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He ascended upon high. And when Jesus come out of the tomb, what did he do? He come back on the day of Pentecost and he started giving out gifts. Praise be to God. He started giving out what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Thou hast received gifts. Please don't misunderstand me. God gave to Jesus my gift to preach. Yours, yours, every other God called man that's been since Calvary. God gave my gift to Jesus. But Jesus didn't want to keep it. Jesus ascended on high, Brother Dan. And then what did Jesus do? He started handing out those gifts down through the ages. Woo! As a conqueror, distributes gifts as a sign of his conquest. So our Lord Jesus gave out gifts. It wasn't $5 bills. 20s, 10s, 100s. Boy, all the whole world would want that, wouldn't they? As a conqueror distributes in token of his triumph the spoils of foes. At one time I belonged to the devil. But it's only temporary. God took me away from the devil. God took you away from the devil. He's fixing to take this earth away from the devil. The impartations, the gifts and graces of the Spirit depended on Christ's ascension. The gifts which Jesus Christ distributes to man, he received in man, in and by virtue of his incarnation. So he receives these gifts. Oh God. Watch this. Brother Bam said, office gifts are sent by God, foreordained of God. They're set in the church. They're born in you. Before I was ever saved, I had to get to preach. Well, glory. Don't let your false teeth fall out now. I said before I was ever saved, before I was ever born again, I had that gift inside of me. Well, praise the Lord. They're born in you. Them traits are born in you. When you come to this world. Notice this one. Your pastor, when he stands here on the platform, ministering the word of God, he is God's angel to the church. But Brother Donnie, I don't see no wings on your back because I ain't got none. I wouldn't fit you all since y'all don't have wings on yours. What is an angel? A ministering spirit. Now, the gift is not Donnie Reagan. It's not Terry Horn. The gift is not so much William Branham or Paul or Peter. The gift is the supernatural endowment from the conqueror, the Lord Jesus. Then he gets us. Can't you see when people despise preachers? When they despise God's gifted men, they are in turn smacking the Lord Jesus in the face and say, keep your gifts. I don't need them. Ooh. I do need them, Lord. I do need them, Lord. Anybody else here need them? My, the messenger to the church, therefore a pastor, should never leave that word, but stay straight with the word, because he's feeding the shepherd's place, because the word pastor means shepherd. Look it up and find if that ain't right. A pastor is a shepherd, and the Holy Ghost made him overseer over a certain flock to feed them. Can I go on? Notice again, he has five different gifts that he set in the church. I differ with some of your theology of laying your hands on one and setting this one apart and that one apart and giving gifts. God gives gifts. There are people who feel led to preach that are not preachers. One of the most confusing things the devil can do to any man is try to convince him he's called to preach when he ain't. And not only drive him nuts and drive his wife nuts and drive his pastor nuts, but he'll drive everybody else nuts that knows about it. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to preach whether you smile or whatever. It's the truth. Friend, being called to preach. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I was reading that same scripture you read before church. That happens to my wife. Does that mean I should let her preach in the morning? If you're part of the body, you should be in spiritual synchronization with what God's got on his mind. That can happen to a young person. That can happen to a sister. Come on, children. That don't mean you're called to preach. A man who is called to preach was born called to preach. He was born with the gift in his life before he ever knew one thing about God. Oh, my. Notice them down the bottom part of this paragraph, Brother Eric. He said they are gifts, ministering spirits. Gifts are ministering spirits. sent from the presence of God to minister in every office of God. What is an angel? A ministering spirit. That's why a preacher will preach things sometimes. It makes no sense to him. It makes no sense what he's even saying. It makes no sense why he's even emphasizing or going that way. Why? Because it's apart from him. I know it makes no sense to you, but I can be sitting here preaching 90 miles an hour. And while I'm preaching 90 miles an hour, my mind is going 90 miles an hour. So why are you preaching this? Why are you doing that? And you're sitting there looking at me and saying, there's no way that can happen. You know why you know that? Why you think that? Because you don't understand a gift. A gift is not you. Now, if I was the gift, there's no way that I could preach 90 miles an hour and think and question myself 90 miles an hour at the same time. But because every God-called man is given a gift from the conqueror, the anointing comes and moves on that gift, and the human part center said, oh no, I shouldn't say that. Oh no, I can't say that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh my, they're gonna write me up on this one. Oh, they're gonna vote me out. Oh my. It's like this in very simple terms. God inspires me, or any other preacher, gives us a thought. We go to building on that thought, studying, looking at scriptures, quotes, praying, however it is God deals with every man. When you go to sin, the thought come together, and you realize brother so-and-so is guilty of that, and sister so-and-so is guilty of that, and if that goes on the internet, they don't tell them what they'll do, and then so-and-so and so, and then the flesh goes to arguing with the gift and say, you better not preach that. You better not. You'll get in trouble again. Story of my life, right? And then the flesh will say, well, maybe I could say it in such a way that... And the gift will say, you leave that alone. I want it said this way and that way and that way. And the flesh will argue. I know it makes no sense to you, friend, unless you're gifted and called of God. And then when you go ahead and do it, and then the gift will get up, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, here I come, devil. And then when the anointing pulls off the gift, and I'm back there in the office after church.
I didn't say that, did I? Surely I didn't.
And then this starts talking again, telling this, blabbermouth. Now look what you've done. Now you've got us both in trouble. Praise the Lord. A man that don't have that does not ever need to enter behind a pulpit with a Bible under his arm. Because he's not gifted. He's an impersonator. Woo. Lord Jesus. Oh, now in the church he said he has gifts. Some are apostles. Apostles are missionaries. Same word, meaning one sent. These offices should be alive. Amen. With the Holy Spirit. Not set in by man, but set in by the Holy Spirit in each church. You mean that would be tape churches too? Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, these are offices that God said in the church, man has nothing to do with it. God puts them in the church. Why? This is God's government. Boys will go to school to learn to be a minister, which is all right. Nothing against that, to learn to be a minister. But you can't learn to be a minister. Boys go to school to learn to be a minister. Nothing against that, but you can learn to be a minister. Minister's gift is a gift from God. So Jesus is on the chariot. Behind him is Daniel, Ezekiel, Jacob, Isaac. He's ascending. Lift up the everlasting gates and be ye lifted up, for the King of Glory is coming in. And a voice from inside the gate said, who is this King of Glory? And they said, the Lord, mighty in battle, the Lord of hosts. And here he goes, handing out gifts. Every time you hear a gifted man speak, it is a sign that Jesus raised from the dead. Glory! Handing out Bibles? We do that too. Handing out tracts? We do that too. But that's not a sign that Jesus raised from the dead. That's the letter. But when God can take a gift in a man's life that he does not have on his own, and God can supernaturally anoint that and preach things that you talked about coming to church, tell me who can do that but God? How many has had it happen to you time and time and time and time again? Notice this. What it takes to overcome. Each of you people who has a godly pastor has a gift from God in your church. A shepherd. Pastor means shepherd. To watch over the flock. To teach them the word of God. Now it's not limited just to a pastor. Every evangelist, every apostle, every God-called man, when they walk up behind this pulpit, it is a gift from God to us. Look at this one in perseverance. In ministry, it's minister gifts. The gifts in the body. Five spiritual gifts that's predestinated and foreordained of God to the church. I know there's nine local gifts in the body, but these are God's office gifts. The office, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And we must respect them if we expect, listen to this, if we expect something from God. And the church said,
amen.
My, my. Now let's skip a few here, Brother Eric. Let's go down to the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Now watching on his ascension. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? So instead of God deciding to conquer hell from heaven, he decided to conquer hell from hell. Amen. Don't stay up there in the covering of the cherubims. Don't stay up there in the presence of the holy angels. Come down here and become immortal and die the death being cursed in the sight of God. But don't just stop there, but by form of theophany, go down into the lower parts of the earth and preach to those souls that were in prison. And don't stop there. Keep going. Keep going till you reach the pit. The abyss. Where the king is. Apollyon. And Abaddon. Go down to the abyss. And knock on the king's door. Hallelujah to God. He went to the lowest parts of hell. He went down a low mile. You could not go any lower. And then he started ascending from there. Praise be to God. Surely such a conquest and the gifts that would be given out in such a memorial thing would not be gifts of trash. This is the greatest conquest that has ever been known. And in memory to this conquest, you're going to give out junk. To be honest, you're going to give out the best things you can give. Hold on now. God loves you folks so much. He went to die for you. Gave you his life. Sent the Holy Ghost back. Sent a prophet to us in this day. And he loves you so much, he didn't make wormwood, you pastor. He made me. Right.
He loved us so much, He sent these other men of God. Don't you call them trash. God could not have given anything any greater to govern His church than God called men. Now watch it. He that ascended, what is it? But He also that descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens that He might fill all things. And verse 11 follows that great, tremendous, overwhelming verse 10. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Remember, He wants a habitation for the perfecting of the saints. Now this word is not making you sinless, but it's making you mature. Perfecting, growing up. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come to the unity, the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto what? A perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But when people leave truth and go into apostasy, what do they do with those gifts? Butcher them. Badger them. Blaspheme themselves away from God. Notice 2 Peter 2:10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous all they, self-willed, which is self-pleasing, arrogant. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Can you imagine men of God that have these gifts from the resurrected conqueror? And people will speak evil, tell lies, ridicule, blast them. Now watch how Peter parallels this. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might. Now, even though the angels of God, which kept their first estate, we know the angels were created in ranks, cherubims, seraphims, mighty angels, others that were not quite as powerful. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us in the Old Testament that one angel come through the camp of the Syrians one night and slew 185,000 men in one night. But these angels, whenever they will bring reports of sinners or of fallen angels, they must do it in a way of propriety. Now Paul likens the apostates and how they will blaspheme and rail against God's people. And he shows that even the angels of God will not charge these fallen angels in the same way that people with long tongues will. Now in one way we think, my goodness, if them righteous angels, they'd stand there, boy, they'd call them angels, them fallen angels, all kinds of names, and they'd tell all kinds of things. God will not allow that in His presence. Now even though the angels are greater in power, Peter says, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Look at this railing. Blasphemous. Blasphemer. Speaking evil. Slanderous. Reproachful. Railing. Abusive. So you mean elect angels which did not fall will not abuse. They will not slander demons. God help our mouths. God help our tongues. Look at the word accusation, sentence of condemnation, damnatory judgment, condemnation and punishment. Holy angels are given the commandment and the responsibility of God to report the conduct of evil angels. And the conduct of men. Remember when the angels came down to Sodom and Gomorrah and said, we've come down to see how bad it is. But you understand them angels going back before the presence of God, they could not and would not rail against Sodom. They could only report facts, which most people don't want. If they can have one fact and 99% spin, then they'll take that fact. But they don't want facts. Come on, you might as well say amen. God will not allow railing in His presence. You see, friend, this is why it's a sign of apostasy. When you find people that are railing and condemning and blaspheming, you better separate yourself from that trash. Some of you folks feeding on these websites and all this nonsense, I want to know the truth. Here's the truth. You better keep your head right here. You listen to an accusation from this long-tongued woman and this long-tongued man, according to the Word of God, you have sinned. If God will not listen to railing accusations, neither should we as His children. Stop a lot of gossip right here in this church if you saints would believe this. Ouch. Oh. Ooh. And see, that's this talking to this. Shut up, Donnie. I'm preaching what I feel it. Hush. You know it's the truth. Instead of us, oh, you don't say, oh, no, you may, oh, you ought to say, no, wait a minute, sister, do you have proof of this? Amen. Of course, a lot of y'all don't do it in person anymore. You do it on Facebook. I've got an article I'm going to read you where psychiatrists are saying that there should be a warning placed on Facebook, just like on cigarettes, that it is harmful to your health. Psychiatrist after psychiatrist has already proven it over and over again that it is addictive just like drugs and alcohol. Can you imagine when Moses dies and Lucifer's looking for his body and God pulled a fast one on him and buried him over in the land of Moab? And he comes up against Michael. He said, where's he at? Where's his body? I've got power from Adam to Moses of death. But Michael didn't stand there and look at him and say, you sorry, low down, good for nothing, piece of filth. You trash. But he simply looked at him and said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael was the one and only archangel. But you mean to tell me he would not rail? He would not accuse? Does some of y'all really think it makes you more spiritual by carrying on an 8-hour conversation with the devil every day? You ought not to give him the time of day. If you spend 15 minutes a day with the devil, that's 14 and a half too much. Amen. I read today where the prophet of God said the devil ain't nothing but a bluff. He has no legal right against you. And when he comes against you, you need to tell him this one thing. I am made out of stuff that don't bluff. Yes, sir. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. But if you go to discussing theology and explaining this and explaining that in an hour and a half, he'll have you wore out. Yet so great is the pride of apostates. They will not only stretch truth, they will fabricate lies. They will concoct. And they won't play this much of a sermon, but they'll play this much in order to cut it and spice it. And remember, you'll be held accountable at the day of judgment. Oh, yeah. Sure. Prophet tells us that they did when he was here. Watch this now. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one another. Love is brethren. Be pitiful, which means have pity on one another. Be courteous. Boy, this is good stuff. Well, why do we think this ain't deep? Why do we think this is not important? Love one another, be pitiful, be courteous. You mean Christians should be courteous? They should be the most courteous people in the world. You mean, Brother Donnie, you can be a Christian and be courteous? I kind of figure if you ain't courteous, you ain't much of a Christian. Christianity does not make you proud and arrogant, my friends. Now watch in verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing. Listen. Rendering evil for evil. Doing an ill thing in return against somebody who done something wrong against you. Or railing for railing, which is vile language, rough language. But imitate Christ, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Why? It's not in him. God can't handle railing. He can't do it. God help us. God help us. Listen to this. Listen at your calling. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. This is your calling and your business and life. To do good. To pray for them that despitefully use you. This is your calling. There should not be any marvel to us. Man, I can't believe it. Praise God, I turned the other cheek. That shouldn't be no surprise. Well, I didn't try to get back at him. That should not be no surprise to a real child of God. This is what we're called to be. Notice this in verse 10. Let me find a place to stop. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain to make to cease or desist, to restrain a thing or a person from something, to cease, leave off, have got released from sin, no longer stirred by its incitements and seductions. Amen. Refrain his tongue from evil, harm of a bad nature, a mode of thinking, feeling, acting base, troublesome, injurious, or destructive. And his lips, that they speak no guile. Subtlety, deceit, and craft. Amen. Let me close with this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these apostates, as natural brute beasts. You mean that a man of God would refer to people as animals? Creatures of instinct translates the Greek word physika, belonging to nature. They followed their natural desires like animals in a jungle. Their only value was in being caught and destroyed. Now what's sad is, these people have known the way of life, and then they've left. And they turn from being enlightened to beasts. Lord Jesus. These as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Can you imagine? You go to the stock sale. You buy you a couple of steers or a heifer, or you buy you some goats. You start feeding them things. Man, them cows, you're fattening them up. They look so healthy. They're looking at you one way and you're looking at them another. And if cows could have pride, my goodness, they weigh, you know, 382 pounds whenever you got them. You give them a shot and you wormed them and you done all them good things for them. And if they could think, they said, man, this owner really likes me. He does, medium well. With a baked potato and a load of butter on the side. Can you imagine when you come out in the field and you've got a bucket shaking it and then they, wow, oh my, here they come because they know you've got something to feed them. You're looking at them one way and they're looking at you at another. And they have no perception. They have no perception. Every pound that they put on, every sound, oh, you say, go back, tell the wife. Boy, I believe I got a good buy on them. Boy, they're really doing good. Ain't got no disease, nothing. They're really doing good. Their very sign of growing is a sign of their death. If they were sickly and you know what, I can't get this out of them. I'm taking them back to the sale and getting rid of them. But don't you understand, friends, the blindness of the apostates. It only proves their destiny. Made to be taken. And destroyed. And that steer gets bigger and bigger. He grows through the summer. Grows through the early fall. And then it comes a good time for you to slaughter him. Don't you understand? Brute beast. God, keep me from apostasy. Let's stand. Oh, God. Lord Jesus. Jude says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beast. In those things they corrupt themselves. As brute beast, animals with no intelligence. You're fattening up that old hog and that hog just eating and eating and eating and eating. So what he's doing, you're fixing to do to him before long. Brute beast. Brute beast. May God keep us, friends. I said, may God keep us. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I made up my mind. Yeah, you better change your view right quick. If you think you're holding tonight, if a man will think him stand, let him take himself take heed, lest he fall. I don't want to make up my mind so much. I want it to be him. Him that's holding me. And he won't let go of my hand. And the church said, oh, but I'll tell you one thing, glory to God, you better be careful, Peter. You'll find yourself a cussing housewife or a cussing preacher or whatever more. Don't you put confidence in this. Put it in the grace of God. You love him, children. Oh, God, help us. Look, Jude says, woe unto them. They have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Look where some of them were then. They were still among them. They had not totally broke off yet. They were still there feeding themselves, eating like sheep without fear. Feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. Twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. But look at the parallel of this. They at one time must have been some life in them. What farmer in his right mind would set out a dead tree? What man looking to raise fruit would set out a dead tree initially? But they had been partakers of an element of life. But by this stage, the life was gone, dried up from the roots. They were twice dead. Oh, Jesus. Brother Donnie, what can we do to stop it? What can we do? Not one thing. There's one person you can stop this for. That's you. I could cry to you, I could beg to you, I could pray to you and preach to you till I died right here in this pulpit. But if you don't take what you're hearing, I can't stop you. Your mama, your daddy could talk to you. Your husband, your wife, please, honey, don't do this. Please don't leave God. Please don't leave the Word. Don't, please. But there's one person who can stop you from doing it. And that's you. Listen to me. Satan cannot even make you do it if you don't want to. He's a bluff. And he'll come and tell you, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. But you can just look right back at him and say, you'll blow your brains out first. You ain't blowing my house down. It's built on the rock. Hallelujah. I didn't build this house. The master builder did. He that has started or begun this good work in you will fulfill it. He will accomplish it. He will complete it. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Oh, Heavenly Father. Lord, these things, they make our hearts feel sad. As we see the day of apostasy. Lord Jesus, and in this age it will multiply so rapidly. For the culmination of all the ages will end right here. And we know, Lord, even back in the 60s, when the prophet drew it, there was just a little sliver of light. But when the moon brought it out, and the signs in the heavens, it was already gone. And Lord, as I've sat in the woods many an evening and hunting, and know that after the sun is gone, it's done set in the west and you can no longer see it. But just enough illumination from the rays of the sun, there's still a little daylight. Oh God, if it's already started back in the 60s, the darkness was already on the earth. Lord, where are we now? Just the last few seconds before it's so dark that we can't find our way out. Lord, and I know how it is and these other brothers that get out and hunt. If I go out there, Lord, and sit in a tree stand 2 o'clock in the evening, 3 o'clock, something like that, I don't worry about no flashlight. I get my MP3 player out and start listening to sermons. Lord, I just get my stuff ready, one of them bow hunting or whatever it is. But when I notice that sun going down, I go to thinking about getting out of them woods. I go to checking for my flashlight. Is it in my pack? Is it in my shirt pocket, my pants pocket? Where is it? I want to be ready. Because I know I'm going to be sitting there till dark and a little bit after. So, Lord, I don't want to be trying to look and searching and finding. I want to know where my light is. Lord God, we've been sitting here, Lord, many of us for many years now. The sun's done set. The last few moments of light is just on the earth. Maybe there's a black person from over in Zimbabwe. Maybe a dark Indian from over in India or Durban, South Africa. Maybe a man from China, from Korea. The last one that'll be brought in. And when they come, that'll be the end of it. Lord, we don't want to be digging around and scratching looking for a light. I feel so sorry for those who've thrown their light away. They've discarded the only way out of here in a rapture. A body-changing message brought by Eliezer. And they've jumped off the camel, called Eliezer a liar and a false prophet. Now they've headed out on their own, trying to find Isaac yourself. Oh, Lord God, let me stay on the back of this camel all the way back home, Lord. Don't let our pride or arrogance or selfishness think that we know so much about you that we can bypass this Eliezer that you sent with a message, Lord. Grant it, I pray, dear God. Lord, I've been serving you all these years. Lord, I pray you'd help me. In January it was, Father, As a 12-year-old boy, they gave my heart to you. They took me down to that lake, broke the ice, baptized me in titles. I didn't know no different, Lord. But there I started my little pilgrim journey. Glory to God, I'm thankful you dealt with me that day, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help me. Lord, as my days get more and more on the earth, help me that I'll be more faithful now than ever before, Lord God. Move among these people, Jesus. Keep us true. Keep us sincere. Keep us humble, Lord. Grant it, dear God. You believe it, church? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You believe? You believe? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How many believes our mighty conquerors walking right here among us tonight? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Lord, I'm glad you put something down inside of us, Lord. We're made out of stuff that don't bluff. Hallelujah. Though the way may be hard and though it may be difficult, Lord God, there'll be no turning back for your people. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. You said, my soul hath no pleasure in them that draw back. Lord, that's not who we are anyhow. We're not made out of that kind of stuff. We're made out of eternal quality, that which was in your mind before the world began, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the mighty conqueror? Now, can you imagine, friends, you and I never stood there that day and saw Jesus go into heaven. But do you understand what's happened right here tonight? The King has walked among us again in his chariot. And you know what he's done? He's took another one of those gifts that he handed out. He anointed that gift that it might illuminate you to the hour that you're living. The King has rode by in his chariot right amongst us tonight. Hallelujah. What did he do it for? That he might make us a holy habitation of Almighty God. Amen. That we might be better equipped when we leave this service. That we might have better weapons and be more equipped to face the challenge of the day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is it to magnify a preacher? Of course not. Is it to lift up a man? Of course not. It's to edify the saints. It's that the saints might grow. Amen. Into the stature of a perfect man. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord God. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. You're the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We give our adoration to no other God, no God of music, no God of amusement, no God of worldliness. We reserve it for you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, children, let's love him a little bit before we go. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing Midnight in the Middle of the Day. Brother Eric, Midnight in the Middle of the Day. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to God. The sun was hot. The angry mob gathered by the gray stone building. As the man draped in velvet with a curly black beard dressed out on his balcony. Nervously washing his hands to rid him of the blood he would never wash away. His wrinkled brow showed the worried lines. And I heard Mr. Pilate say, I find no fault in this man. Call Jesus, either from the shores of Galilee. Let's sing it now. I command you to ask me to let him go free. Don't make me take his blood where the grave was me. Nervously washing his hands to lead him up blood. Cried the blood of this innocent man. I heard Pilate. Oh, and it was midnight in the middle of the day. Trembling soldiers fell before his cross. Oh, glory! The you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And the conqueror climbed up in his mighty chariot. He throwed out apostles and pastors and teachers to his bride. He gave Elijah in the last day to restore our hearts back by the word of God. And would say yes. The Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. If you're wondering tonight what I'm on, I'll tell you what it is. Eternal life. Do you get it in a shot or a pill? You get it in the form of a man. The resurrection and the life. Walgreens don't have it. CVS don't have it. But God's only one that's got it.
Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'd really like to know what the devil was thinking on the day of Pentecost. When 120 cowards hauled themselves up into the upper room. You see, they were to become the two wave loaves. It had to be beaten with fine flour, mingled with fine oil. And it had to be all this stuff put together. But then they had to be put in the oven where the fire was in order to transform them. Just a few days before this, they'd fled from the Lord Jesus. I don't even know him. I don't want nothing to do with this man. I don't want nothing. And you imagine Satan saying, this is the government of the new church? You're kidding. Peter, the cousin preacher. John and them, well, they can't get along there. Oh, boy. This won't last a week. And this is the church that Jesus has built. It's his whole fame. Oh, boy. So they hauled themselves in the upper room, and they got the fine flour and the oil, and it's all mixed together. And all of a sudden, here come the conqueror. Hallelujah! Probably the devil just sent some of his little imps up around the upper room and said, one of you guys go up around. I'm going to rest. Jesus has worn me out the 3.5 years he's been here. Come if you need me. So here come the conqueror. You imagine that little puny imp going down. What is it, Satan? What? It's him.
What do you mean? It's him. It's him.
Glory.
So here they come out. There's something about it when he comes around, it kind of makes you act funny. And the people looked at her and said, well, you know, the people of Happy Valley, they come out of church staggering. That's right. They looked at him and said, well, these men are drunk. And a gift from God stood up and said, these men are not drunk. Amen. As you suppose. Yes. You imagine John and Matthew and the rest of them, not bad, not bad. You imagine as that fire brand got set on fire and he said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This shall come to pass in the last day, saith God. I will pour out of my... What was it, friends? The conqueror had gave gifts. Glory to God. As those words came out of that man's mouth, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Imagine, but then the devil went over and sat down and just had a big cry. I'm partly to blame for doing this. I crucified him. Oh boy. You're talking about shooting yourself in the foot with a nail gun. You mean I release this out of his body?
Glory to God.
Let the devil fret. Let him bring his press. And when he presses her right to the spot, she'll be like a grape in the hands of Yahweh. Let the press come. Let them say what they will. Amen. It'll press us into the arms of our lover, the Lord Jesus. It gets sweeter as the days go by. Praise be to God. You imagine, here went Peter. There went John. There went Matthew. It's like it started everywhere. It was a wildfire out of control. What was it? The conqueror. You imagine Jesus as he went up to the gate beautiful many times when he was here. And this man had laid there for years. You just imagine this man, Jesus passed him many days. But he thought, I'll leave this one for the boys. So they came up through there and asked him for alms. They said, we ain't got no money, buddy. We ain't got no worldwide ministry. But I'll tell you one thing. There's one thing we do have. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Lord have mercy. What was it? The same Jesus in bride form. It was the Alpha bride. He was the Alpha bridegroom. The Lord Jesus was. Amen. What if Jesus was Alpha and Omega and that Alpha bride died? There's got to be an Omega bride somewhere. Paul and them was the first. We are the last. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See you there. Let me stop preaching. Let's just sing a little worship before we go.
Oh, he gets sweeter.
Oh, yes, he does.
As the days go by.
Come on, come on, sing it.
He gets sweeter.
Yes, he does.
As the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper.
Oh, yeah.
Sweeter as the days go by.